We're going to look at Peter's second letter today, just a section from it, and just give me a second to find it. Peter's second letter, probably the main theme of the letter, is knowing. It's a word that recurs 16 times in this short three chapters, 16 times. I mean, if you repeat something that much, it means something. And he's saying the intent of this letter is that you may know, be grounded, reminded, to know it, to be certain of something, to be sure of something, to not have to doubt it, to be sure, to be confident. 16 times he uses the word knowing, so that you may know. He starts saying, greeting the people in the name of Jesus. And he says, I'm writing this, and may the grace of God be with you, that you may know. So the whole time he's just writing about knowing and certainty. And we're busy with the series just considering your devotional reading of Scripture at home. Last week, in our small groups, we looked at the first session of the Lectio course. And Lectio, literally, Lectio Divina, is just an old Latin name that just means the way in which people read the Scripture through the ages, sacred reading of Scripture, the reading of the sacred Scripture, sacred reading. So prayerfully reading Scripture, not reading Scripture to study it, like laws, not reading Scripture for inspiration, you know, to be like a hero of the faith, like a David, not reading Scripture to know how to practically solve problems or deal with ethics, but to know Scripture that you may know God and be known in Him. So the heart of the intent of this reading is literally that. And it's a simple message style. I use four English words in this next slide, just so you can see that the intent is to read the Scripture. And that's what we'll focus on today, to read Scripture, to read it, to pay attention to it. Peter says, you'll do good to pay attention to the Word. And then nextly, to reflect. Just go back one slide, please, Mackie. Next is to reflect, to be mindful. It's what the psalmist says, blessed is the man who meditates on this day and night, to think about it, to put your thoughts to work, to let your brain, use your sanctified brain to think about what does this mean. Thirdly is to respond in prayer, to say, God, this is what I understand, but to have a conversation with God about the Bible, to actually pray, say, God, this is what I hear. God, I use this text as a prayer to you because I can identify with something or I don't understand something. And then lastly is just to rest in it, to read it, and to trust God, that God, I pray that this word doesn't just sit in my head, but just becomes part of my life, that my life becomes a witness, like Jesus became the living word. I pray that in somehow my life, that this will guide my internal subconscious actions, that I may be a loving person and love you more. So it's a simple way of reading the text. It can take you 5 minutes and can take you an hour. Simple reading of the text. So let's consider Peter. But just before I consider Peter today, it's amazing, Mackie, the next slide shows the background of Peter's text. So Peter is writing, and you have to start here, because this letter was written to it's not written to us, it's written for us. They were like a real bunch of churches that were undergoing hardship during the reign of Nero, Emperor Nero. So these Christians were afraid, because their fellow brethren were burnt at stakes alive, were crucified, were fed to the animals, were beaten, were ostracized, were intimidated, were denied public access to basic things in life, not being allowed to partake in certain work circles. So these people were, it was a tough time. It was a tough time. It's like being a French rugby player in Paris at this moment. Ostracized from what's happening in your own stadium. You know, you can't partake of the enjoyment of everyone else. You know, it's like, I'm joking, but the point is, the guys were outside of life and pressured. Alienation and persecution was the game. Peter's writing this. He's writing this about 60 after Christ, just before Nero was crazy enough to set half of Rome aflame, to blame the Christians, to give him more power, because the gospel was gaining advance, didn't work in the end for him well. And Peter's writing and is saying, listen, so let's be blunt. I don't know if he was arrested at this point, but he doesn't say that. But he's saying, the Lord showed to me, but my life is about to end. I'm about to be crucified. And we know history, crucified upside down in the Colosseum in Rome. So he says, I know my life is about to end. So I'm writing this with a certain urgency. This is my last words. This is my last words. And then the whole point of the text, he's saying, is to ground you in that you may know this as truth. I love, and you'll see what he says now. He says, I'm writing this to you because I've said this to you in the past. I don't find it tiresome to say it to you again. And he's saying, I'm going to make it my life's work to record this so that you will never have an excuse to forget what is important. And he said, you'll do well to pay attention. You'll do well to pay attention so that they may be resilient and fruitful in this hostile culture. And he's answering three questions. We'll only touch on the one today. He's saying, the church during this time of persecution and uncertainty, saying, listen, my life isn't working out this well. I said yes to Jesus, and it doesn't seem as though I am more than a conqueror in Christ in this moment. You know, I'm ostracized, I'm poor, I'm afraid, I'm intimidated. My life isn't going that well. You know how many people pastorally we see, let me say this blunt, that when things get tough, they say, I must have heard God wrong. And I'm like, how do you read the Bible? Or, you know how many people I've seen in my office over the years saying, I must have married the wrong woman because life is difficult. We're fighting. And I'm like, no, you are the wrong person. Sin, you know, it's like God taking Noah and everyone into the boat to save the world. And then Noah and his family brought sin on board. You know, it's like the same point. You know how many people are saying, because, you know, I heard from God that I should really start this, or I should speak to the school about this thing, and then things get tough on them. I must have heard God wrong, because life is tough. He's saying to them, they're saying three objections. Firstly, the church was saying, you know, this whole apostolic story was just a myth. It's just a myth. I mean, a dead man rising from the dead, walking on water, multiplying bread, healing the eyes of the blind. It's just a myth. But the problem is, this was 25 years after Jesus walked among them. It's a bit too soon for a myth, you know. Secondly, saying, oh, there won't be judgment. Some teachers are saying, man, you can partake in all these feasts and orgies and alcohol and still believe in Jesus. It doesn't, you know, you're saved because your sins are washed away. You can do what you want. He's saying, near papi, ye misty pint. There is a real judgment. And thirdly, saying there will be no return. You know, we're waiting and people are dying, but when is Jesus? Jesus said, I'll be back soon, you know. And I haven't seen him come down. When is he? That's just a story. Jesus isn't really returning in the physical flesh. So chapter 1, he denounces the myth. Chapter 2, he denounces, saying, there will be a judgment. Chapter 3, saying, there will be a return. And all three of those answers, he's saying, the word said so. The word. And it's amazing. Peter's writing scripture here. To him, it was an apostolic letter to the churches. But even he himself, in this letter, saying scripture, this is scripture, all of that is scripture. God speaking is scripture. Prophecy is the word of God. Everything is about the word of God. So this whole letter, if you're looking for one text to know what the Bible is about and why you should pay attention to it, it's a real issue for these people. Peter saying, I'm about to pass away. Can I tell you the one thing that you should do? You will do well to pay attention to the word of God. You'll do well. So let's read that section. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. Reveal yourself to us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. He's saying, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. He's saying, I'm going to die soon, as our Lord Jesus made it clear to me. So he had a meeting with Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon. And I will make every effort. You know what's so funny about that? Because the previous 5 verses, he's saying, you should make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge godliness, and to godliness love, and to love, you know, the greatest thing. And he's saying, now I am going to make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time, recall these things. God, we thank you for Peter. It's 2,000 years later, we're able to recall it. It's amazing. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths so that when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and that voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, he's speaking about the transfiguration on the mountain, where him, James, and John were right there with Jesus on the mountain, and God appeared in all his fullness, saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. He says, we ourselves heard this very voice born from the heaven. We were with him on that holy mountain. He's saying, it's not a myth. I'm an eyewitness of that story. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place. Picture this. To pay attention to the word of the lamp shining in a dark place until the dawn dawns all around you and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing that this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture comes upon someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's three blocks. It's a lot of information. I know it. So I'm going to slowly just unpack it for you, but it's beautiful. Every bit of these phrases. The main phrase we're paying attention to today is, paying attention, is the word that says, you'll do well to pay attention to the word. You'll do well. If that's all you take away today, I'm going to say, you will do well tomorrow morning to pay attention to the word. You'll do well tomorrow evening to pay attention to the word. You will do well. It will be good for you. First of all, how can I relate to this text? Liefling, dankie. How can I relate to this text? Dankie. First one is we recognize that this text, dankie, is like in Peter's day, we shared about this 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago when I preached about 1 Peter. We also live in a culture where everything that we hold dear to and everything that we love and everything that we aspire to, everything that we say we believe, is countercultural. Our culture is definitely pulling us in a direction. The masses, the media, the communication, even legislation these days, are making it really difficult for us to proudly say what we believe, to confidently, to calmly say what we believe. It's really difficult. Things we value. I mean, if you switch on Netflix after the rugby, if you switch on a movie, if you read a novel, if you listen to music, the things in this world that we live to is countercultural. I'm not saying everything out there is bad. I'm just saying there's a lot of bad out there that wants you to love other things, that wants you to live in a way where that says that, listen, if you desire it, then have it your way. You know, the original sin of Adam, have it your way. Frank Sinatra's song, number one song in hell one day, I did it my way. I did it my way. If you're going to sing it, I'm going to do it my way. You're going to end up there. So constant strain against the cultural tide, deception. You know, you can find any YouTube link that tells you that everything you believe in is a lie. Deception wants you to believe something else. Seduction wants you to love other things, fleshly things. And thirdly, intimidation. If you say out loud that you really believe that God designed man and woman to be married, and that is holy, and that is proper, and that is right, it is countercultural. It can be considered as hate speech. Okay. So we live in the same culture. This was exactly the early church's issue. It was just harder for them because they were living closer to China, Iraq, Afghanistan, and North India in their culture, where they were a small minority and the law was based on other rules, which makes outlaws what they say is good. Okay. So secondly, we also, and I find it for myself, we need to be reminded of the promises. Peter's saying of the great promises that we have in Christ Jesus. We need to be reminded that it's worth holding on. It's worth saying no. It's worth enduring hardship for a short while. it's worth denying yourself for a short while because the reward is worth it. He's saying, hold on a little bit. And then he's saying, there are dangers out there. There is a lion roaring, walking around. I mean, if there really is a lion walking around, you'll do well to be weaponized. You'll do well to be weaponized. That's Peter's argument. Thirdly, the issue is with truth, that there is something like truth. And he's saying, we also need a resilience and a fruitfulness in our contemporary culture. So just want to show you this before I delve into something. When you ask the question, so what is the Word of God? What is the Word of God? I mean, if I ask the audience now, the group here, congregation, what is the Word of God? You can give me probably 10 answers, and I'll say that probably you gave the same 10 answers that Peter uses in his text. It's amazing that because this whole chapter, this whole book is about holding on to the Word of God, paying attention to the Word of God so that you'll be fruitful and resilient. That is the call. But if you look at it, you'll see that he uses many words that we associate with the Word of God. Firstly, he's saying that there was this audible voice of God that spoke from the heavens that I heard. Peter's saying, I heard it. I was there when the voice came. And it's not just me. It's not just me that being crazy. James was there. Jesus was there. And John was there. And we heard it. And it's not the only time. A few times. But there was an audible voice of God. He's saying that Scripture does record the audible voice of God that we should pay attention to. Secondly, he's saying the Word of God he associates with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is my testimony and my story of the fact that I saw that Jesus did these miracles. He lived a sinless life. He suffered. He was executed on a cross. I saw him die. We went to the grave. It was empty. He resurrected and he appeared to us. That is the gospel. He's saying, I was there. It's not a myth. And he's saying that my testimony, my gospel, he regards as the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing this word. Faith comes by hearing. We hear it, we believe it. Faith does, and that saves us. He's saying the Word of God contains the Old Testament prophets or the Scriptures in verse 20 in chapter 3, verse 2. Saying it's not just this, but God has been speaking through the ages. Through Moses the prophet, through Samuel, was speaking through Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, and all the Malachi, the Italian prophet, all of them. All of them, God spoke to us through them. But he's saying that the Word of God is also flowing in your church right here now with prophecies being spoken. And he's saying, how do we test that? Well, we test that with the same way we tested the other prophecies, knowing that it comes by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, God speaking to us. He's saying the commandments of Jesus in chapter 3, he uses a few phrases that you'll see up there. The commandments of Jesus, the teachings of Christ, the way in which we should live, is the Word of God. Because he's saying, he gave it to us and say, teach this to everyone. Make disciples of everyone. Let people know that this is God's way. God's speaking. This is the way we should live. He's saying that the creation was created by the Word of God. He's saying that judgment will come by the Word of God. Saying the heavens will be torn about, revealing God like a garment being torn.